We're doing the Netivot Shalom and Parshat Lech Lecha, and the topic is Bechach Otemin. Hashem promises Avram, they will seal off their blessing of Avot with you. So this is really divided into segments. I'll be happy if we finish one segment. The verse says, I will make you into a great nation, I will bless you, I will make your name great, and there will be blessing. Ma'amar Chazal, our sages taught in Tractate Psachim, so they broke down the verse. When God tells Avram, I'll make you into a great nation, that's the idea that we introduce Shmoneh Esrei, and we say Hashem is the God of Abraham. I will bless you, that's the idea that we say Hashem is the God of Isaac. I'll make your name great, that's the idea that we say Elokei Yaakov. Now, in truth, this whole concept, where did the Gemara get that from? The deeper understanding of what's really going on here deserves a class unto itself. We should spend really 15 minutes just on this piece in Talmud and the Rashi that quotes it. But that's not our subject, so we'll continue. But you should just realize that once you understand how the rabbis saw it in the verse, then it's like staring at you and it's beautiful. When you first read it, it's like, that's nice, you could have said everything, you know. V'eschal goy gadol, I'll make you into a great nation, you'll have a lot of money. V'avarecha, I'll bless you, you'll have a big army. V'agadla shemecha, I'll make your name great, that they'll sign all their dollar bills and Abraham we trust. I don't know, I mean, you could have invented anything, right? So that when you read it at first glance, it looks like our sages pulled this one out of a hat. But that deserves a longer class to understand how they get there. The Talmud continues and says, maybe you think that we end off the blessing, the first blessing of Shmoneh Esrei with all three patriarchs. That's what God tells him. There will be blessing, and the idea is, you are the one with whose name they will seal the blessing. We conclude the blessing. The conclusion of the blessing is with Abraham. That's the section in Talmud. That's what it says. So we have to understand this, as the Rebbe of Slonim. How did the rabbis get there from I will bless you, I'll make your name great, to saying Elokei Yitzchak and Elokei Yaakov? The simple reading of the verse, when God says, I will bless you, I'll make your name great, is not talking about his kids, it's talking about him. What's the idea here that this is Avram's blessing, and how does his name become great through this? So that's question number one. That the verse seemingly says that he will have blessing, Abraham, and our sages took it to mean that his children will be sources of blessing. They will be a part of the introduction of Shmoneh Esrei. Ken tzarich biyu. Further, we have to explain. God says, I will make you into a great nation. At first glance, that's not something we could understand. What does God mean? Your children, your descendants will be a great nation. What does it mean, I'll make you, Abraham, into a great nation? Why did God use terminology, I will make you? The simple reading is, you, Abraham, will become a great nation. God is talking about his children. So why doesn't God just say, I will make your children into a great nation? We're going to see in other places, God says, I will make your seed multiply. God tells Abraham, go count the stars, your children will outnumber the stars, or will be numbered like the stars. And then the final line in Talmud, the Talmud says, there will be blessing. That's the idea that they conclude the blessing with Abraham. So let's understand that. Why really do we end with Avram alone and not everyone? We also have to understand, when our sages explained, the verse says, this is the story, this is, now we're going to describe, now we just described, the Torah says, we just had a description of how the heaven and earth were formed in their creation. So the final word of the verse, Behi Bare'am, our sages point out, the letters of Behi Bare'am are Otiyot Avraham, they are the letters Avraham. What's the idea? So the Medrash says, the Bezchut Avraham Nivu Shamayim V'aretz. It was in his merit that the heaven and earth were created. וצריך ביום מדוע באמת כל בריאת תולדות שמיים וארץ הם בזכות אברהם ולא בזכות יצחק ובחיר אבות יעקב. So we have to understand really why is it that we say all of creation was in the merit of Abraham and not in the merit of Isaac or Yaakov. Yaakov is called the chosen among the three patriarchs. So you'd think Yaakov himself says that his blessing is more potent than his father and etc. So there are angles where Yaakov is more potent than Yitzchak and Avram. So why is it that Avram takes this role that he is the one we seal the first blessing with, and it's derived? The Medrash says that the creation of heaven and earth were in his merit. Odita bechazal. So we had a list of questions here. He continues and says, the Medrash says, binyan veye bracha. It says in the Medrash on the verse, there will be blessing, shekol ha'roeh et Avram avinu mitbarech. That whoever saw Abraham was blessed. And if you touched him, you were blessed. And if you did business with him, you were blessed. Meaning any contact you had with him ended up being a blessing. So why is it that specifically by Avraham he attained this level? We have many shepherds in our history, right? We have Abraham, we have Jacob, we have Moshe, we have David. We have shepherds in our history, people who shepherded the Jewish people. And none of them are described this way. Only Avraham Avinu is described that whoever had any contact with him saw blessing. So now we can explain. And this is derived from the same verse which in the Talmud the rabbis took to mean you will conclude the blessing with Avram. That same verse, Veheyei Bracha, those same words, in the Medrash says, that indicates there will be blessing to all who come in contact with you. What does it mean Avram has blessing, says the Rebbe of Slanim? Avram's prime trait is kindness. Kindness in Judaism means going beyond the call of duty. Chesed, on the surface level. On different occasions we've discussed that there's an angle where society has an obligation, a moral obligation, to do kindness. Right. Meaning it seems contradictory, and yet in Tanakh the terms are juxtaposed. Meaning at first glance you have emet and chesed. And they either this or that. Either tell me what I have to do, or tell me where I could go beyond the call of duty. And in Tanakh, they are juxtaposed. So we've discussed a few times, and Chafetz Chaim has a whole piece on this idea, that the two really complement one another. They're not mutually exclusive. So he says, coming back to Avram. Avram's trait is kindness, chesed. Shi yisod binyan olam. That's the foundation of building this world. K'ma'amar ha-katuv, ki amarti olam chesed yibaneh. The verse says, you want to build a world? Kindness. In the letter I wrote last week, 2 weeks ago, so I mentioned, every Shabbos, I put out a newsletter. So over there I mentioned that it's interesting if you look, not from a religious perspective, you just analyze what are we told about creation, that Adam and Eve didn't last an hour without a fight. 1 hour. And he doesn't tell her the exact truth, and she doesn't tell him the exact truth, and you have an explosion that it took 130 years to make up. That's our description of the first couple, God's couple. It doesn't get better than that, you know? Perfect shidduch, right? And the first hour, boom! You want to build a world? The verse says in Tehillim, in Psalms, Ki amarti olam chesed yibaneh. Kindness, going beyond the call of duty, is how you build a world. Meaning all of creation is standing on this idea of kindness. As the verse says in Psalms, your kindness fills the earth. Even though you really need all traits to build the world. You need honesty, you need a lot of traits, but your achmidat chesed, hibchinat ha-yesod lebinyan olam, but the foundation of it all is kindness. Shekol kiyum ha-olam, mushtat al-yesod midat chesed va-ava. You want to know what the world stands on? The world stands on kindness and love. That's what the world stands on. Ukmo shemfaresh ha-pasuk ha-nizkar b'sefer ha-chaim l'achi ha-ma'aral, shelekach kol kiyum ha-olam v'atoldot hu al-yedei midat ha-ava, בכל מקום יכל הקדוש ברוך הוא לברוא שיהיה זאת על ידי, כמו כן יכל הקדוש ברוך הוא לברוא שיהיה זאת על ידי מידת העירה או שאר מידות. So the Maharal has a brother named Chaim, and he wrote a few books with the word Chaim. The Maharal's brother was the Chavrusa, he learned Chavrusa with the Ramo, Rav Moshe Sheisserles. He wrote a book called Vikuach Maim Chaim, which was like a pamphlet arguing that the Ramo had no right writing his Shulchan Aruch. So he and the Ramo learned together, they were contemporaries, and the Maharal, so his brother wrote a book called Sefer HaChaim, again his name was Chaim, and in that book he says, why is it that the whole world has to stand on these ideals of love, of kindness? God could have created a world that stands on respect, a world that stands on any other trait. Why did it have to be kindness? Ela kevan shehakadosh baruch hu mekor hatov, being that God is the source of good, umiderech hatov leitiv, and the nature of what's good is to do good. Al ken yasad et kol binyan haolam al yedei midat hachesed va'ava. So Hashem created a world where the foundations of the world is kindness and love. You want to build a relationship with a roommate. You want to build a partnership. You want to build a home. Kindness and love. Anything you want to build requires that. I used to go to yeshiva that was about a mile away from the Twin Towers. And every day I would see the Twin Towers on my way to yeshiva down the block, East Broadway. You'd see the Twin Towers. And I loved taking a look at the Twin Towers before entering yeshiva. I always said to my brother, that's a Kiddush Hashem. You see the Twin Towers? That's a Kiddush Hashem. It gives me strength. I see that, I could go learn Torah. And my brother would say to me, why? What do the Twin Towers have to do with Kiddush Hashem? So I always looked at the Twin Towers and said, no one person could have built that. That required a team effort. That was people getting together, this one developing the metals, this one developing the plans, this one knocking in the nails. It required thousands of people putting their efforts together to build something. So to my mind, when I saw the Twin Towers, that showed me humanity can unite and build. So I looked at that, then I could go into Beis Medrash and learn. That was always like, gave me a good feeling. Look at the Twin Towers and go in. So to me, it was real devastation seeing them fall down. I'm not talking about the human life loss. I'm talking just from a philosophical perspective. To me, it always represented that idea. So you want to build? Hashem created a world where building involves unity. Unity involves the capacity to forgive and love. ובזה חפץ הקדוש ברוך הוא להראות כי עולם חסד ייבנה, שרצונו יתברך כי כל קיום העולם והמשכיותו יהיו מכוח מידת החסד והאהבה. Hashem wanted this illustrated in the world he created, that the world can continue to exist, the world can only advance through love. I remember I was sitting with a businessman, this was before 9/11, so this goes back a decade and a half ago, and he was describing how many flights he made that week, how amazing the world is today, that he could meet a person in Paris and then go on to London and then fly back to Chile and then go out to the United States. And in 1 week, he's having meetings there all across the world. And I said to him, you should know the blessing that you can travel the world like that is because there's peace in the world. The world has a certain level of unity where people are at peace with one another. All it takes is a little bit of war, and suddenly you're not able to travel like that. So you're benefiting not only from the advancements of technology, you're also benefiting from an element of unity. And he came back to me a decade later and said, I switched my whole business ever since 9/11. I can't fly so many places. Every flight takes so much time till I board the plane, till I get off the plane. The time of security, my whole business changed because there's no longer that unity. Now there's suddenly a threat. So this idea, that kindness, that love, that unity, they are the source of building in this world, is true in the physical world, it's true in the spiritual world. The existence of the physical and the spiritual world rests on these traits of kindness and love. Sharei tachlit avodato shel ish yehudi hi lekayem ve'avtat Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol mo'adecha. What is the essence of a Jew? To fulfill that verse which we say in Shema. Love Hashem with your heart, with your soul, with your everything positive that you have. Ve'lasig avat Hashem ha'ruya shezoi ha'madriga ha'kvoha b'yoter b'avodat Hashem. To attain that level of really loving Hashem, that's the highest level. I don't know if we even understand what we speak about when we say loving Hashem. You know, we use the term as though it makes sense. I was sitting with a teenager on Sukkot, and he said to me, I don't know if he exists. I definitely don't love him or fear him. I'm trying to figure out what's going on in the world. So I said to him, you know, let's open a Rambam. When the Rambam discusses loving and fearing Hashem, the Rambam says, V'heich hi haderech le'ava. V'heich hi haderech le'yir'ah. What is the path to loving, to fearing this potent being? The Rambam doesn't say, how do you do it? The Rambam says, what is the path? Meaning, the Rambam is telling you it's a path. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not going to happen in a minute that you'll come to realization, bam, okay, there's a God. Oh, I love him. Wait, I have a lot of questions, and we're going to discuss that later in the Parsha class. So there's a derech, there's a path. And the Ntivot Shalom says, the highest ideal, if you can get there in the service of Hashem, is something that's called serving Hashem out of love. I'm not sure that that's within our realm yet. Maybe you guys. But I think a person has to realize where he's really at, and that's something which takes time. Even the Rambam described it as a path. Uchmochen midat ha-chesed ya-yisod ledvekut v'Hashem tachlit ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvot. Just as the ideal connection with Hashem is with love, so too the ideal performance of mitzvot in this world is through kindness and love. Uchidrashat Chazal b'sifri, as our sages derived in the Medrash on the verse, lalechet b'chol drachav uledov kabo, the verse says, God wants you to go in his paths, and cling to him. So our sages said, what does it mean, cling to him? Cling to God? Lidabek b'midotav, cling to his traits. Mahu nikra rachum, just as he is called merciful, so you should be merciful. He is called forgiving, you should be forgiving. He is called slow to anger, you should be slow to anger. When Chazal said emulate God, why didn't they say it also says God gets angry? They didn't say that. It also says God is vengeful. They didn't say that. It says that, right? Nake lo yinake, right? It says he pays four generations of sinners. That they didn't say. But that's also a trait of God. But our sages understood that when the verse says cling to him, it means cling to his traits of kindness. When you take that mitzvah, which is called the klal gadol b'torah, that's the mitzvah that's called that the great rule of Torah, k'shura l'midat ha-chesed. So what's the great rule of Torah connected to? Kindness, love your friend like yourself. גם כל עולם התיקון שהחל מאברהם אבינו לאחר כל הדורות של היעדר דור אנוש, דור המבול ודור הפלגה. When you see the world starting to move forward, to becoming a better place, after worlds of destruction, what do you have? The generations of Enosh. You have generations that were stealing one another's wife. You have the generation of the flood. You have the generation of the palaga, the great divide. Where does Avram begin moving the world forward? התחיל במידת החסד של אברהם אבינו. Avram begins with kindness. He's coming to a world that's had 20 generations of continued decline. How do you turn it around? That's Obama's big question, right? You have years and years of steady downhill plunge. How do you turn it around? How do you get the wheel turning the other way? It's very interesting. You know, they entered this monetary system where the market goes up because the Fed feeds it dollars. It's a very dangerous situation because what's going to happen when one day you have to stop printing dollars? What's going to happen when you can't? If the market's rise kept being propelled now by QE1 and QE2 and QE3 and Operation Twist, now what? How long can you go on printing dollars? At some point, you got to stop. And what? So, it's not easy when you have a cycle headed one way. You have a downward plunge. Turn it around. Avram comes to the world where for 20 generations it's been going down, and like every graph, also in economics, right? It goes down, then you have a roop, you go up, and then boom, back down again, right? So you have Adam to Noah, down. Noah, we went up, great. Noah to Avram, we're going right back down again. Who do they appoint as the world leader? Nimrod. Who's the king of the UN? Nimrod. Amraphel, a man who's made it his life's endeavor to kill Avram Avinu. He was Avram's nemesis. It's very interesting to note, he was older than Avram, and they died on the same day. The two forces were around until the same day. The day that Avram passes away, Nimrod gets killed by Avram's grandson Esav, which is considered a bad thing. It's considered Esav's first murder. It's not Esav's claim to fame. That's why Avram had to die that day, so he would not witness his grandson becoming a murderer. Who was he a murderer of? Nimrod. But they died on the same day. But that's reflective of a world. They appoint Nimrod as their king. They appoint Nimrod as their god. And Avram has to stand opposing that. How does he do that? How do you lay foundations for a better world? Chesed. So here we'll have to pick up next time, I think. Unless you guys want to continue another 20 minutes, but we're only scratching the surface here. How many people want to go on another 20 minutes? We have Parsha, we have learning how to do Bris Mil, we have a lot to do tonight.
I have a question.
Yeah?
Is there a source that I can look at that goes into to tell the story of that world's war with Abraham and Nimrod and the first four kings and everything, that I could read over Shabbat or anything?
Yeah, remind me, I have a copy here. How's your Hebrew?
Not probably not up to speed with reading a
Sefer. So see if the Medrash says there are Midrashim on that. Maybe the Medrash says this. I don't know.
Maybe we could take a taste of.
So I say, yeah, we'll go over to Parsha, and if we have time later, we'll come back to this.
You're saying that if